May the grace, mercy, and peace of God our Heavenly Father and His Son be with us this morning and forever. Amen. For a text of meditation, I'd like to read from the third chapter of 1 Corinthians and reading through the first 11 verses. First Corinthians chapter 3 and beginning with verse 1 and reading the words in Jesus' name. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were unable to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. The church in Corinth was in a turmoil. It was a young church. It was a church that was pretty much filled with new believers at this time. It was a church that was being raided, if you will. In fact, Martin Luther calls them mad saints and inexperienced know-it-alls. And they were coming in and they were just laying turmoil to what Paul had done. Coming in with new ideas, coming in with different things that they believed. They were all babes in Christ. They were new Christians. And as Paul says in this first verse, that they were all babes in Christ. And he says to them, I have fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. You see, when a person first comes into Christ, he comes in and he is inexperienced. I can only use my trade that I had for 35 years as a painter. And for those who are experienced in their trades, it doesn't matter what you do, whether it's concrete or carpentry or even teaching or whatever. It doesn't take you long to recognize as to whether this person knows what he's doing or not. In my case, it was usually within the first hour, you could pretty well tell if this person knew what he claimed that he knew. So those who were coming in, or those who were believing, they were very young in faith. And as this happens in a lot of times, even in established churches, you will take people that are possibly young in faith or have been in faith for a few years, but for some reason have kind of got off track. Pastor Harvey calls it a lot of times rabbit trails. And rather than proving what they know, rather than looking up what they know and seeing if it is correct, they'll take a portion of Scripture and in their own mind say, okay, now I know what this means, so this is what we've got to do. And a lot of times they're mistaken. A lot of times they're going down the wrong path. The sad part is about that is that they are able to influence others, and this is what was happening here in the church of Corinth. The Apostle Paul heard about it, but I've always liked how he starts out this particular book, this particular epistle. he heard about all of the things that were going on, the divisions and the one faction and during one group saying, well, okay, I'm of Paul, some of Apollos, some of Cephas. But I've always liked what he said in the first 9 verses of this particular chapter. He doesn't come to them with a hammer. He doesn't come to them with an attitude of, you people are wrong, this is not, you're not right, you got to get back on the track, where did you wander off? He didn't use any of that. But he came to them with love and compassion. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, their brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. He's reminding them of who called them. It wasn't him. It wasn't Apollos. It wasn't anybody else. It was Christ Jesus. And Paul recognizes himself as being a servant of God. Why would you want to follow anything or anybody other than Jesus? But the human nature is such that it has to make itself feel important. It has to make itself feel something that it's not. And we're all guilty of it, and we all can fall in that way. But yet God is so good that he reminds us through his word what it is that we are to be. We have all been fed with milk at one time or another. There are times even when we have walked upon this pathway and we have been here for a while. And yet we still need that milk to remind us of who our salvation is and who our Savior is. Because we do, and we can get off track. In the fifth chapter of Hebrews, the 12th and the 13th verse, the writer of the Hebrews speaks of this also. And he says, For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be of the first principles of the oracles of God, and are not become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is as a babe. Those who teach, those who admonish, those who minister, are those who are familiar with God's word. I've got to tell you, even this morning, I'm standing up here looking out at all of you who have been in this place so many times. And it's a little scary. But God has given each and every one of us a different gift. God has given each and every one of us, and he, and the Apostle Paul even mentions it here. He's given each and every one of us a road to travel. Not everybody has that same gift, but we will all be rewarded for using that gift in the way that he has been given it. Not to earn our way into heaven, not to earn our way into it for salvation, but because we love Christ and we want others to know what it is that he has to say to us. He says to these believers, and they were believers, or at least starting to be in Corinth. He says, for you are yet carnal, For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? You see, in the Christian church, to walk in that way where there is envyings, where there is strifes, where there's arguments, where there's factions and groups that kind of separate themselves and stick together rather than the whole. That's not what Christ was about. That's not what Christianity is about. Christianity is about love and having a concern for one another and seeing if one another is falling, seeing if one another is going through a tough time, to at least extend a hand and say, hey, I'm available, I can help. All you have need is but to ask. These were not doing that. They had their own thoughts, their own ideas, their own ways of doing things. And while one says, I am from Paul, another, I am an Apollos, are you not carnal? You're following a man. You're not following Christ. You're following the teachings of an individual. You're not following Christ. And this is what Paul is trying to make clear to them. He says, for a while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed? These are the ones that you heard the word from. And because you heard that word, and the Spirit revealed to you and showed to you that word, you began to believe. Even as the Lord gave to every man. They were servants. They were messengers. Even as we are messengers today. Each and every one of us. You don't have to stand in this place to be a messenger. You don't have to stand here and say and proclaim all these different words and thoughts and do all this study. We are messengers in each and every path that we walk in our life. We are messengers in each and every path that wherever it happens to lead. Whether it's on the job site or in the store or at home or wherever you happen to be, you are messengers of Christ. And for me, and this is just a personal feeling, but for me, one of the strongest messages, and I think that those of us who have been in business for ourselves have a great responsibility. Because we are seen. We are more evident than those who work for somebody. Because they are the laborers. They are the ones that go out and do the jobs for us. But we are responsible for the way that operation runs. We are responsible for how we treat people. And if we do not treat them properly, and if we are not fully upfront and fully honest in all of our dealings, believe me, it will be seen long before the average guy walking down the street. And that's a heavy burden. And sometimes it can be kind of hard to do because there are always somebody that's out there to try to take advantage of you. But there are also some out there that try to take advantage of Christians. Well, he's a Christian. I'll go and see him and we'll try to get something off of him. How many times have we been in this building and people coming up and knocking on the door, wanting a handout? Certainly are not going to be judgmental about them because there may truly be a need. But then there are times where you begin to question. And they drive up in a brand new Cadillac and dressed to the nines and then they're asking for money. You've got to kind of wonder, is that right? I don't know. But we are here to help out God's children. And we are here to be a message unto all of those who do not know him and who do not understand who he is. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. There is not one person here, and I dare to say this, who can say that they have increased God's fold. If God's church has been increased, it's because of his work, not because of ours. It is God that gives the increase. We are just the servants. We are the ones that go out and plant. We are the ones that go out and water. There are times where I have seen where somebody wants to do it all. If God has given you that gift, then more power to you. But in most cases, that gift is distributed among many, because the fact of burnout is very real. The fact of burnout can be to the point where you just get so tired. So God does give that gift, give a different gift to each and every person, and he wants each and every person to work together and use it. He continues and says, so neither is he that plants anything, neither is he that waters, but God, again, gives the increase. Pretty blunt. Neither is he that plants anything, neither is he that waters. He's not, certainly not taking any credit on himself. He's not taking any credit for anybody else. And he's warning all of us, but in this particular case, he's warning the others. You're nothing. You're but a servant. The glory and the honor and everything that you do is God's. There is nothing that we can do outside of God that will bear fruit. Now he that plants and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. He that plants and he that waters are one. And just reading this, it would look as though, okay, well, I'm going to do it all. He that plants and he that waters is one in Christ. Because it is Christ who gives the power and the authority to do so. They are one in the pursuant of that particular job, to bring believers to Christ, to bring believers to him. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. We are laborers together. We all work to that one end. We all work to that one center place. We all labor to that one place, that one day we will be with him. The field, and here it says you are God's husbandry. You are God's field. You are God's building. We're all part of God's kingdom. We're all part of what God wants us to be. And he wants us to be his children. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. I've used before the analogy, and I used to work with block masons. And when you start a building, you always build what they call a lead. You go to the corner, and you build up a lead that's nice and square and plumb, just the way it ought to be. And then the others come along and they build off of that. And the building is square. You don't send a rookie out to do something like that. You don't send an experienced person or a tender. You send an experienced person to go and do that. Who more experienced than Christ? According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Paul laid that foundation of that church according to what God wanted him to do. Not by himself, not according to what he wanted. He did it according to God's instructions and his directions. He took God's blueprint, laid it down there, and built it as God wanted him to build it. But then he gives a warning in the latter part of that verse. He says, but let every man take heed how he builds upon them. Every man, be careful how you build on that foundation. You start off from that lead and start working down, and if you don't follow that line, or if you don't follow your level, that building's going to be all cattywampus. I remember a company I used to work for, when they built the wall, they did kind of went this way, and you get a call at 2 o'clock in the morning that the wall was laying across the railroad tracks. But that was because the wall wasn't straight. It was crooked. That wall has got to be straight. We have to be careful how we build upon that foundation. And the only way to do so is to know this book. The only way to do so is to know what it says in here. Don't go to opinions. Don't go to something that, well, this sounds like. No. Go to what it says. And then in verse 11, he says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." There is nothing else that can be built upon. Anything that has been that is built on anything other than Christ is going to fail. It's going to fall. And it is not going to be worthy to enter into that heavenly home that God has created for each and every one of us. May He add His blessings to these words. In Jesus' name, amen. And Father, now we ask that You would bless us and keep us, that You would make Your face shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that You would lift up Your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.